Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Woohoo! I get what are we talking about today?
I wonder.
Right? Hey, we are so glad you're joining us. My name is Stephen Boster, along with Mr. Michael Shanks, and I think almost becoming our third member of the podcast. Theron Lowry is with us today. We are so thankful you're joining us for a great discussion about the movie Mortal Kombat. Yes, we watched it and we want to talk about it. Real quick, if you don't know this or not, we have a website.
Woohoo! Yay!
So it is twogeeksmike.com. We tried to shorten it as best as we could. So the number two, geek. G-E-E-K-S, then Mike, M-I-C.com, twogeeksmike.com. That is our portal now. So in other words, if you want to find our merch, you can go to our website and click the merch button and go there. If you want to find the podcast page, there's Podbean, you know, you can click there and catch them all. If you want to see that page.
Catch them all.
And then also is our Ko-fi page. Our Ko-fi page is kind of like Patreon, but it's a little different. We kind of like it a little bit better.
Are we allowed to say Patreon since we're using Ko-fi?
I know. Good question, right? So please go there. What we've got on our Ko-fi page is you can buy us a coffee. It's $2 for a coffee, but you can buy us as many coffees as you want. You know, we all got our coffee mugs up. And woohoo! We have and will be adding a whole bunch of stuff for subscribers. So you can buy us a coffee and for $2 and get access to everything for 30 days. You can become a subscriber for $2 a month or however much. And you'll always have access to all the upcoming stuff. Like Mike said, you want to put our pre-release podcast, right?
Oh, yes. We have our very first podcast that we recorded, which was never released. and once you listen to it, you'll realize why we never released it. But you can see how far we've come along. We've gotten better equipment. We've learned much better what to do for a podcast. Right? It's kind of fun to listen to.
It is. We do have plans that if you're a subscriber or if you've bought us a coffee, you would get pre-release access to the podcast. So you get the podcast earlier than everybody else. And so we're working on the details on that. And we're going to have some of our podcasts we'll have by video. So if you want to see us talking and interacting, we'll have that video. But that's only for subscribers. But we also have other stuff that's not for or just subscriber only. It's for anybody and everybody that wants to come and check out the Ko-fi page. So we're pretty excited about it. But again, the hub is twogeeksmike.com, twogeeksmike.com. Mike, do you want to say welcome to everybody? I just kind of started talking and rolling.
Oh, no
off.
Problem. I didn't even say. Well, welcome to the Two Geeks Geekdom. Good morning, everyone. We figured we'd talk a little Mortal Kombat. All three of us just watched the film last night. I tried to watch the film last night. not that the film's bad. I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. There was just, you know, I'm getting older and I watched it a little late and I fell asleep at a couple parts. So I'm going to lean on you guys a little bit for this.
That's a good soundbite for a snore right there. I'm just going to say that.
And right. As you can hear, we have Theron, the third wheel Lowry, with us today.
Nice. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. How's it going, everyone?
Woohoo, good. Hey, Theron, thanks for joining us today. I'm pretty excited about having you here with us just to talk Mortal Kombat. Get over here. See, we can make our own sound bites.
Yeah, there you go.
Finish him.
There you go. A little bit of a flawless victory on that one.
Okay. Nice. So, nice.
Yes, yes. I am a big fan of Mortal Kombat, so this is going to be a very interesting conversation.
Now, yep. Theron, do you play the video game?
I do, actually. I play a little bit of the Mortal Kombat, the recent Mortal Kombat games, the ones where they introduce like Leatherface, Jason.
Oh, wow.
Predator, so that's Xenomorph. So I played, is that I played 10? A little bit.
Did that start with
Mortal Kombat 10? Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Did they put Michael Myers in that?
Yeah, I think they have a variation of Michael Myers in there. It's actually pretty brutal. So obviously, this is a kid, a family oriented show. So yeah, be warned before you start going into those video games, thinking like, "Oh, it's just like the movie." No, son, it's not like the movie. Actually, it is a little bit more like the movie in this regard because this one was brutal.
Yeah, this movie I thought was pretty intense, actually. I mean, I wasn't opposed to it. I'm fine with it because I know what Mortal Kombat is, and that's part of the Mortal Kombat universe and all. I get it. But I enjoyed it still. I liked it. Of course, I'm also kind of a bit of a horror fanatic. So, you know, I like Michael Myers and Halloween. So, I liked it. It was good.
So should we start off with we kind of give our ratings, our overall ratings, overall impressions of the film, not going into too much detail, but just kind of the big picture. And then we will do, then we'll just kind of break out. We'll probably start talking about the earlier iterations of the films. And then we can talk about this Mortal Kombat, the HBO Max release and widescreen in the theaters release, Mortal Kombat. So, so we usually do something out of five somethings. So, what are we going to do today? We've done Batarangs, Flash, Lightning Bolts, or that's coming up.
Yeah,
reactors.
Hey, you're jumping into the future, Steven.
I am.
apparently you jumped into the
multiverse time change. You're going to kill me on this multiverse stuff. Hey, if you're just joining us, everybody, if you haven't heard in the past, I have issues with multiverse theory or multiverse stuff. And so we have an upcoming podcast talking about Flashpoint Paradox film. So, anyway, that's what Mike's referencing. So, all right. So, should we see dragons?
Yeah, I was going to say dragons.
I think that's a good one. Yeah.
Okay, we'll do dragons. Mortal Kombat. Who wants to go first? Give their overall impressions.
Let's start with Theron.
I am going to give this one 4 out of 5 dragons.
4 out of 5. All right. What's your overall? Why 4 out of 5?
I'll talk a little bit more in detail after everybody give their assessment. But I do think the film is great. I do love all of the action scenes, all the fight scenes, obviously. I do like the character build for how they shortened it and convinced it to where, hey, this is why you were picked. This is why we have to travel to say a location. This is the lore behind how we basically have to keep our realm from being taken over from our world. These are the characters. I love a lot of the characters that they've established as far as like Liu Kang, Kung Lao, Sonya Blade, Jax. I love how they established all of their, how they became who they are within a short time frame without actually spending way too much time trying to explain like, hey, this is let's go on a journey to a lab and try to find somebody. No, they all kept it centralized to a location and it made a perfect sense. So I think that was really one of my strong high points in the movie. Okay. So, yeah. And they brought a lot of characters in and they emphasized a lot of the abilities that each character has. So, yeah, it's a solid 4 for me.
Cool. Okay,
cool.
Mike, since you dozed off in the middle of it, I don't know if you get to give a dragon score.
Wow, that's rough. Okay. Actually, I am going to give this, and I don't want this to sound negative, but I'm going to give it 3 dragons.
Okay.
There's a couple
3 out of 5 dragons.
Yeah, there's a couple things that I would have liked to seen more in this movie, and we'll get into that later. Which is why
maybe those happened when you were asleep.
Well, that could be. That's possible. Man, I'm really going to be taking digs on this one. Anyway,
you had one job. No, just kidding.
Wait a minute. That's usually Theron's line. Theron usually says that.
Don't put me in it.
Because you are Theron Third Wheel Lowry, that's why. I just gave you a new nickname.
Really harp on that one. That three. There we go. Yeah. I love that one. All right, cool.
Anyway. I teased Theron. I just teased. Anyway, I give it 3. Like I said, there's a couple things I would have liked to seen a little bit more, but I really enjoyed the action in this. I thought the fighting was great. I thought it matched a lot. I mean, I'm not a video gamer. I don't play the games. I played the original Mortal Kombat way back in the day. Not a whole lot, but I played it. I actually was a bigger Killer Instinct fan than I was Mortal Kombat.
That was a good game too.
Yeah, that was a good game. I don't think we'll ever see a movie of it, but you know, it probably isn't worthy of a movie. But you know, I like this universe. I like the idea that they've set this up to kick off a bigger universe. I think that's cool. I liked a lot of the characters that were introduced. Again, I'm going to lean on you guys because I don't know all their names. And I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. I kind of remember that guy. I kind of remember that guy. I kind of remember her, but I don't remember any of your names.
Right. So. Well, I think that's one of the things that makes it, you know, with all of us getting together, we share what we know and what we don't know.
Sure.
and fill in the gaps and have great discussions. So I don't hold that against you or anything. Well, maybe falling asleep I do. But oh,
I may fall asleep while you're talking. He deserves that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Well rested, so that's fine, you guys.
Right. any other thoughts? I'm sorry. I kind of interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, I like I said, I'm going to give it 3 dragons at the moment. Hey, by the end of this conversation, I might change that. We'll see.
Well, okay, so here's mine. I give it 6 out of 5 dragons. No, I'm just kidding.
6 out of 5.
No, I give it 4 out of 5.
You can't do that.
Right. I give it 4 out of 5, and I mean, I understand why you would give it 3. There are some things we're going to talk about, some negatives of the film.
I'm sorry, what did you say? I fell asleep.
Oh, nice. Right. 4 out of 5 dragons. So here's the thing. I went into the film with mixed expectations, and what I mean by that is, the beginning of, you know, I love the first Mortal Kombat film from 1995, I think.
Yes.
And then there's Mortal Kombat Annihilation. We will have discussions about that. So based upon those two films, I didn't go in with a whole lot of, I just wanted a fun movie. I wanted a fun movie and, you know, popcorn munching movie. And I got mm-hmm. that. I really did. I got that. The reason I say mixed expectations is because when HBO released, you know, that 7-minute preview, they had a 7-minute preview they launched online. I fell in love with that preview. And we'll talk about that preview here in a minute. And so that's why I was like, oh man, this movie may be really good based upon the first 7 minutes of the film that they released. And I thought, ooh, this is going to be good. Yeah, no, it wasn't that good. That first 7 minutes is awesome. So,
wait a minute. How many dragons you giving this?
I'm giving it 4 out of 5.
Okay. Okay.
Because
all right.
I wanted a fun movie. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
Sure.
But right. And I agree with you. The fights were incredible. They were creative.
Yes.
there's even, and we'll talk about some of the, there's some other stuff on HBO Max and behind the scenes stuff, but the guy who played Sub-Zero, cool. They had to ask him to slow down. He was too fast for the camera.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to watch that.
These guys know their martial arts. They really do. And so it was really good. So I enjoyed it as a fun movie. And we'll talk about some of the quirks within it, I'm sure, in our time together. But 4 out of 5 dragons for me.
Nice.
Solid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So who wants to go next? Oh, wait, we all went through. All right. So where do we begin? Any thoughts on the beginning? Well, I do. Let's just start at the beginning, that first 7 minutes, because I already referenced it. If you guys are okay with that?
No, I'm fine.
So yeah. HBO released online a couple of days before it got the film released, a 7-minute preview of the first 7 minutes of the film. And when I started watching the movie, getting ready to watch the whole movie, a part of me was like, oh, yeah, I've already seen these 7 minutes. I want to fast forward. I'm like, no, I don't. I don't want to fast forward through this because it's setting the stage with Sub-Zero and Scorpion, why they have this feud between them. Now, in the games, the lore gives a whole lot more, but the cinematography, the storytelling, the emotion in that first 7 minutes, I thought was phenomenal, really good. Mm-hmm. Where you see in the actor, I can't remember the actor's name, but I've seen him in other stuff. He's a good Asian actor.
The one that plays Scorpion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say his name at the moment, but yeah, he's an amazing actor. Yeah. I've seen him in multiple movies.
I don't know if I've seen him anything else, but I really liked him in this role. I thought he was great.
He was good. Well, you see the emotion he has with his wife and his child, his oldest son. Mm-hmm. And then next you see him go get water, and then the attack happens. And then when he hears the scream, and it was just incredible cinematography, the way he immediately drops the buckets, drops what he's doing to go to his wife, that dedication to his wife. And then the way they filmed that, the water buckets falling and the water coming over and rushing and stuff, there was just something to me personally that was cinematic. And you see him running off in the distance, then you see him running again. I enjoyed that. I thought that was really good. And then seeing his wife and his child, frozen. Oh yeah, spoiler alert, everybody. Sorry. This is a spoiler-filled discussion.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
The emotion that you see in his face, and then when he hears the invaders come in, there's my dogs. When you hear the invaders come in.
Wait a minute, are they in the invaders?
Right. So I got distracted because my dogs are barking. Hopefully you guys can hear that. His emotion changes. Do you see how his emotion changed? I mean, went from sorrow to I am now focused on these guys that are coming in. Mm-hmm. Kind of a thing.
You know, when we see his wife and she's gardening, did you notice the spade she uses?
I didn't at first.
Yeah.
I did not at first.
Oh, as soon as I saw it, I mean, I wasn't sure. I wasn't 100% sure that was his weapon, but she's using the spade, and I was just like, oh, I love her spade. That's awesome. I knew it was some kind of weapon. So, but yeah, I thought that was
cool. So, Steven, if you like the first 7 minutes of the intro for that, you will love the precursor to the actual movie, except for the Mortal Kombat. So I want to jump in a little bit and say that if you like, not the first two movies, the Mortal Kombat and the Mortal Kombat Annihilation, but if you like the setup, and this is kind of the same setup that you see in this film, if you go back and watch Scorpion's Revenge, that's on
HBO Max.
Yes, that is the same type of setup for Scorpion, how the Kuei Lin basically took out his whole entire faction, his village, and how he basically died. So a little bit of a backstory. The Quaylin are pretty much like the folks of the ice. So they're like the they're the ones with the ice ability. And you have scorpions. I can't think of the name of their tribe and everything in that nature. But they are there are two rivaling factions. They've always been. First, they were actually a working community, but then again, they were tricked into battling each other. You get that from a little bit of the backstory from the video games and things of that nature, where there's another character called, I believe his name was either Shinnok or Emerald. One of the two characters, they basically tricked the Quaylin that the Scorpion's village, they invaded their village, and they killed everybody, which set Sub-Zero, the character who plays Sub-Zero, Binhan, to attack Scorpion's village and kill his wife and things of that nature. So it was a big miss. It was a big manipulation as far as between the two factions, where one attacked the other and then they attacked them. And that's the reason why you have the setup for the rivalry between Scorpion and Sub-Zero, because of how they were duped in that situation. So and then they show that in the Scorpion's Revenge type of deal. That's an excellent movie too. Still pretty brutal for an animated film, but
for an animated film, it was very R.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Definitely. Okay. But if you want to get the setup for that, going into this movie, I highly recommend that one as well.
Especially if you want more lore between the rivalry between the two, it's really good.
Yes. Yep. That's pretty much, have you noticed that the movie was pretty much central around Scorpion and the his descendant and everything in that nature, and how it was passed down to him. I love the fact that they kept it pretty simple. I didn't like how the character they had played, the main character and everything, how he was kind of getting the abilities, but he wasn't really like in tune with the abilities. They came out of him, but he wasn't really manifest. He got beat so many times, and it's like he was just shoving them off, especially the fight between him and Goro. The fight between him and Goro, you would think Goro is a pretty beastly character and one of the hardest characters. I think he was one of the bosses in one of the older Mortal Kombat games.
In the first Mortal Kombat, he was the big bad boss that you work towards to the very end. And then once you beat him, Shang Tsung comes in and you have to beat him to beat the game.
Exactly.
I know, because I learned to beat that game on one quarter. I played it so much.
That's a bet for you right there. There you go. Back in our days, kids, we had to use quarters to play video games, just like how we use quarters to make a call on a payphone. That's amazing, right?
I was just going to say, I wonder if any of our listeners understand what you mean by learning how to play it on one quarter.
Right?
Yeah. What is an arcade? I've never seen an arcade before.
Yeah, no kidding. That's something that almost doesn't exist today. Well, unless you go to Chicago, there is a arcade called the Galloping Ghost, and they are the world's largest 70s and 80s video arcade. They have all these amazing games from the 70s and 80s. I've been there twice. Actually met Jimmy Mack of Rebel Force Radio there, which was fantastic. Played Ms. Pac-Man with him. It was great. But yeah, if you ever go to Chicago, go check out the Galloping Ghost. It's fantastic.
That's
cool.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm not going to Chicago. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, that's probably the only thing y'all would go to Chicago for. Let's go to play video. Yeah, I can do that at home, son. Downloadable content. It's okay.
We went to go to Chicago Six Flags, and then we arranged to meet up with Jimmy Mack. So
that's pretty cool.
It was fun.
I agree with you on the whole characters. Let's just talk about the characters overall.
Hey, wait a minute. Before we go into that, I got a question. Yeah. I was a little confused. Scorpion and Sub-Zero, are they supposed to be Chinese or Japanese?
Sub-Zero is Japanese and then Scorpion is Chinese.
Okay, because he kept switching.
No, it was the other way.
It was the other way?
Was it?
No, he was speaking.
Scorpion was speaking in Japanese, but... Well, he wasn't Scorpion yet, but then Sub-Zero was in Chinese and Japanese.
Right, he would switch. But, And I didn't.
He would switch. So here's
now. Granted, I only know that because of subtitles.
Right. No. Here, when Scorpion comes down and sees him, and he's talking in Japanese, and then,
First he's talking to the wife and the child.
Yeah, skip that part. Skip that part because he did talk in both there.
Right.
But when Scorpion comes and the Scorpion is talking to him in Japanese, Sub-Zero replies in Chinese, and then Scorpion says, I don't know what you're saying, but you're going to die. Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So
they were trying to communicate with each other. Did
Sub-Zero not know what language that Scorpion's family spoke then? Because that's where I was confused. I didn't know why he kept switching back and forth. I didn't understand.
Yeah, I think that's what the case was, that he was trying to let them know. That's the reason why there wasn't really that much communication between them. He was using more gestures. But yeah, gotcha. I think they do definitely speak two different languages, and that's what it came down to. That's why, that's why you got more emotion from their face as far as like, please don't do this.
Right.
Versus this is what's about to happen and things of that nature. So I thought that was amazing. Like it was a lot more storytelling with emotion, facial expressions, and just the backdrop, just like what Steven was talking about when his family was frozen, how Scorpion saw that he was emotional. And then he switched when all of the Quailin army came behind him. And he was like, okay, I know what I have to do.
Right.
It was amazing. That's really was a great storytelling.
It was fantastic. I mean, the fight scenes were great. The story of him losing his family, that was pretty heart wrenching. Mm-hmm. Hiding the baby daughter, all that was great. It was good storytelling. I liked that.
It was great.
Yeah.
I almost wondered if some other director or someone filmed all that by the time you get through it. Because, really.
Someone that understood storytelling.
Right. Because the rest of the dialogue wasn't all that great.
True.
But I will say, going back to the whole character side, you're talking about the character of Cole, how he was always getting his butt whooped kind of a thing. But he knew how to take a beating is how I took that later on. And that's what manifested in his special ability.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed with him in the beginning because I'm like, wait a minute. Everybody's such, pardon the expression, but badass in here.
Right.
And he just seems kind of wimpy.
He got his butt kicked all the time.
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
Here's what I thought. When Jax comes in and says, "Hey,
okay, wait a minute. Maybe you're right. Maybe wimpy isn't quite the word. Because you're right. He put up a fight. He put up a fight. Right. He just lost all the time. Being a descendant of Scorpion, I expected way more.
I expected more.
Good. So that was one of my disappointments, by the way.
Well, I thought by the time we get to him understanding about the tournament, his place and all that, and then here comes Goro, and then he gets his ability. Goro is a big fighter. I mean, you're right. He is like one of the bosses, boss fight, kind of the boss fight. And he took him down pretty well.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I gave it a 4. Cause I'm like, wait a minute. Why did he go after? I thought they were, the way they set that scene up, it looked like they were going to send either Noob Saibot or Smoke after him. Cause that was the teleporting type we're doing. And I was like, oh, that's just the phone the effect they use for teleporting. I say, why did they send Goro behind him? Because Goro is a pretty substantial character in the Mortal Kombat lore. So to take him out, it was pretty crazy. But Shang Tsung was saying that Delph is just another portal. They're not technically dead. That's how they were able to keep coming back and things of that nature in later games and later story iterations and stuff.
Hence, I thought
that was pretty interesting.
Hence the whole remember this face.
Yes, exactly. They're able to come back in some type of shape, form, or fashion, which I assume in the future that's what's going to happen, because I love the ending cutaway to where they started to introduce more characters and how they introduced characters throughout the film, like Nightwolf and Johnny Cage and so on and so forth. Spoiler alert, I'm just letting you know. But those are very pivotal characters. That's well, iconic characters within Mortal Kombat. I thought that was pretty nice to see. I'm like, oh well, they didn't really bog the movie down with so many characters. They kept it centralized to, you know, these specific fighters. And I know I want to segue into Kano, which is going to be a very interesting topic. I'm pretty sure that you guys, either you love him or hate him, but Kano was one of my favorites in this movie.
Now, wait a minute. My goodness. Which one was Kano?
Oh, my. That was the one you went to sleep on, Mike.
I knew it was going to come back to bite me.
That was great.
That's for that third Will's comment, all right?
Okay. So, touche, touche.
I am.
So Kano is the guy. He's the Australian. He's the Aussie.
Oh, I like him. Yeah, I like him. Yeah, I didn't know what his name was.
Right.
You're right. I fell asleep when they told his name.
So you kind of see Kano's technically a villain, but you are very confused because it's just like, why is he on the same side as, I mean, why is he kind of like in the same social circle with Sonya Blade and Jax?
Yeah,
and
they're enemies. They are mortal enemies. I mean, they don't like each other at all.
Mortal.
Like, what is this? I agree with you. I was like, what's he doing on that side? That doesn't make sense. But then it does later on.
See,
it set up each mortal enemy in their Mortal Kombat and how they, you notice that how they set them up after that.
See, and I didn't realize going in that they were enemies. I just kind of got the feeling that he was, and I'm going to take this back to the DC universe, that he was kind of a Deathstroke type character where he could play either side of the fence, you know? That's kind of what I had gathered from him. But I really liked his character.
Not knowing the history of the game or anything like that, you were like, oh, he must be a moral ambiguous character.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like the Shadow Dragon type. I want to say he's on both sides. He's not on the good. He's like definitely a mercenary. So yeah, Deathstroke would be a good comparison to like who he is. He's pay for hire. He killer for hire. So merc for hire rather. That's what I'm
could be
saying.
Why I liked but, him too.
Yeah. Well, his wits and his lines in the movie was, I mean, they were funny. Like they were, he was still in the show for a moment. I was like, oh wow, this is Kano is actually really funny in this movie. They gave him a lot more, and I love the fact that how they end up putting Cabal in there. Oh my goodness, they put so many characters. That was a throwback to the original Mortal Kombat. I was like, oh, they actually put a good Cabal in there. That's the guy who had the red laser eyes. That was the line.
Yeah,
and his ability is to basically move really fast. He's like a swift attacker or whatever. They didn't introduce Striker or anything in that nature, but I'm assuming that they're going to probably do that in the later iterations of the movie. So if you play the first three Mortal Kombats, and if you got to Mortal Kombat Trilogy, you would pretty much get a good sense of who a lot of the characters are going into the actual movie and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, it was really nice.
Well, here's the thing about Kano's lines is, you know, sometimes you get some just cringeworthy dialogue.
Yeah.
And then here he comes with his quip, and you're like, okay, that was good. I like that.
Yeah.
That was funny. Okay, thank you. Kind of a thing.
He called Liu Kang MC Hammer. I thought that was
pretty, yes, that was hilarious.
So who's this guy with the MC Hammer pants?
Right.
I was like, oh, dude is funny.
Yeah.
That was great. Good. And I loved it when he ripped the heart out of the lizard creature, whatever the lizard creature
Reptile.
Was. Yeah.
Reptile. Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was a pretty interesting take on Reptile. Reptile is more humanoid, and then in the games, they make him more humanoid and lizard-like. So it depends on which variation of Reptile. But I did like that variation of Reptile.
I thought it was a better representation of Reptile than the first, or no, it was Annihilation. He was in the first movie, or the first Mortal Kombat movie, and then when they did Annihilation, that's where he kind of came into turned into like a humanoid kind of a
thing.
But I thought it was exactly. better than that. I thought it was better than that. It was more of a monster movie type guy. And I like that. I thought that was cool. Not a, like a martial arts monster at all, but just a lizard monster.
Like a Komodo dragon. That's mainly what it looked like.
Yeah.
Komodo dragon. Yeah. And he was more upright. He was hitting back too, but I do like, I like how they tried to go old school with this character. It was like the Mortal Kombat, the first movie Mortal Kombat, but they upgraded the animation for that character. Because you notice the same abilities about the skin and how he was able to like have that illuminating with his cells. So you can see him kind of first. But yeah, the, oh my goodness, that movie, that character, yes, I love Reptile. He's one of my favorites.
Even Goro was a step up.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Huge step. Not huge. I should say a step, but I mean, but just a huge improvement compared to what he was in 95. 95, he was almost like a puppet or animatronic.
Kind he was of like a ninja. He was like a Ninja Turtle. That's what he was.
with really bad green screen effects.
Yeah.
No, it was more anime. You can see like the you know, I am Goro. I'm the champion. Nobody can beat me. But it was pretty interesting how he was defeated, which I didn't like, because when he was beating the crap out of the main character and he hit him with a 2x4, that dude got right back up. And I was like, nah, son, he's still got four arms. He holding you up in midair and he just gut punched you. I'm pretty sure you're going to be out for a little while. It's not like you're going to,
right.
just, but it is a movie. I get it.
Was that before or after he got his ability?
That was before he got his ability. He was getting beat up pretty bad before his abilities. And then after his ability, when his family was at stake, you notice that it was always some type of like trigger with their Akanas, or where that's what they call it there when they unlock their abilities is Akana. Mm. But that's when he saw his family was at stake. And that's when he got the, I don't know, the half Iron Man suit that we got from
He had to get it in. He had to get it in.
There you go. Well, you know I got to make my reference.
So. Well, I got a couple DC references in, so I guess it's okay that Theron gets a Marvel reference.
Oh, you know, I'm not going to be sleeping on this one. Anyhow, the fact of the matter is that how he was able, it was more like, I'm going to say, no, it was, let's take that back. It's not more like Iron Man. It was more like Black Panther. You notice that how he was able to absorb so many energy. It was like the Black Panther suit.
That's a great analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. It was instead of like kinetic energy. Yeah, it was actually, no, take that back. It was absorbing kinetic energy.
It was.
And he was able to disperse it channel through it. A lot of the attack. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Except Black Panther don't lose his fights.
Well, I mean, he did get snapped away. So, I mean, he didn't win the fight against Thanos.
Well,
he came back from the snap. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It wasn't a one-on-one, him and Thanos. They was basically going back and forth. He kind of choked him out and threw him to the side.
True.
Right?
True.
Well, I want to say this, though. Character-wise, you know, in the Mortal Kombat stories, Liu Kang is kind of central. But I didn't get that from this one. I it is more of a centric story, or the story centers around the Sub-Zero, Scorpion family and the struggle between the clan, you know, that kind of a thing.
Now Liu Kang is the one with the hat, right?
No, that's
Kung Lao. Kung Lao. Okay.
Yeah. So, but they're cousins. They're from the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same tribe or whatnot.
Right. And and Liu Kang normally is the big guy, you know, in films. He was okay. He was fit. He was great action. His acting was not the best.
No.
At all. But
did we really expect great acting out of this film?
No, we did not.
I mean,
well, I after that first 7 minutes, I did.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was like,
I guess that's fair. But I mean, you go into a Mortal Kombat film and you're wanting fight scenes. Like you said, you're walking into this expecting a popcorn munching movie.
I think
we got that. I think we got a popcorn munching movie.
We did.
It is not meant for great lines and, you know, great acting. We want to see the fights. We want to see fights that look good, that are well choreographed. And I think we got that. I think we got that very good.
Yeah,
I will say we did get character, you know, still on this thing of characters, and we'll go into fights and fatalities. You know, kind of a thing.
Yes.
I was surprised how many fatalities we got.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, there was so many.
But
and it looked just like the video game.
It really did.
I mean, the carnage and yeah.
Yeah. But they introduced characters specifically for the purpose
of killing
the receiving side of a fatality. So you need a lot of character development for them. You're like, I wonder if they're going to get it.
Kind of. Well, that's the reason Reptile was brought in. Got his heart ripped right out.
Yeah, and the flying dragon lady lizard thing.
Shang Tsung, isn't she so beautiful? I'm like, she's getting it.
Yeah. I was like, I don't even remember playing with her, son. Yeah, she's going to definitely die.
I know, exactly. I was like, I don't remember that character, you know, kind of a thing. But I'm like, okay, she's going to get it.
What's the name of the woman with the teeth?
No, that's Melina. Melina?
Well, yeah, I was just asking.
That's Katana.
Katana.
Oh, Melina, that's right.
Katana, yeah. Melina. And... yeah, that was.
She's freaky looking, man.
She was when she went to her full form, which is kind of just like the film. I mean, just like the game,
right?
Yeah. Who else did they take out character wise that they just introduced? I was like, oh, the guy with the hammer. I didn't recognize him.
Yeah, he was. Oh, that bridge.
Wait a minute, isn't that Thor?
No, that's not. Wow, man. No, that's not Thor. But yeah, he was the character who played him. I actually liked his character in a bunch of different movies. He's a well-renowned like martial artist. I think he had a series of whatnot going around trying to learn different types of martial art. But yeah, that guy is actually pretty cool. The scene that they had is the iconic bridge from the video game. I don't know if you guys know, that's spikes at the bottom. Where if you knock somebody with an uppercut, they fall down to the bottom and they hit spikes. I was so...
That's Mortal Kombat 2. So like,
yes.
No, wait. Was it in the first one, though?
I don't think it was in the first one. I think it was 2.
It was 2. It was 2. They introduced that.
Cool.
That scene was pretty interesting. I was like, oh, is Jax going to uppercut him and he's going to do the fall to the pit? So it was the pit scene. And I was like, no, they didn't do that one. But Jax's character, I would say, had one of the very in the beginning, he had the very interesting story arcs. You know, he was kind of had the first fight with
Sub-Zero.
Oh,
that was great fight.
That was a really good fight scene. And then how he got his Akana abilities with his arms. He was like, oh, okay. I know he wasn't going to keep these flimsy looking arms that the
right
dude, you know, that was intense when Sub-Zero takes his arms. That was freaking intense, man.
It was.
Wow.
He immobilized him when he basically froze his shoulder blades.
Right.
His shoulders. I was like, what is he doing? And then I realized I had to see that 2 or 3 times. So I was like, oh, he couldn't move his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he was able to, like, you know, not hold up and he crushed him. But
he immobilized one and he was still moving with the other. He was still fighting as hard as he could with the other, but then he takes the other out too. And it's like, oh crap. That was freaking intense.
And then when he's got him both arms and he's holding them and then you start to see him freeze. I'm like, this is how he's going to lose his arms.
Right. You
know? Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And then he pushed him off the ledge and he hit that concrete block head first. I was like,
right.
Why did they? I was like, dang. How are they going to bring him back in the movie?
Right.
But it was really interesting.
Yeah, I thought he was dead at that point, actually. I really did. I didn't think he was coming back.
Well, I knew he'd come back. Here's part of the story thing that I thought was off, wasn't great, was, you know, then they go back to Sonya Blade's trailer or whatever, and, oh, yeah, he hasn't checked in and stuff. And then it's like, okay, I'm going on this adventure. You just said you were missing Jack. He was MIA.
Yeah. Right.
And now you're going on this adventure, not even going back. And I thought, well, that's weird. You know,
they didn't go follow up and check in on him or try to figure out where it happened.
She just thought he overslept. That's all. Oh, nice. You know, kind of like the guy coming into this podcast today who overslept.
Oh, my goodness. You are something else, sir. Something else.
You took a dig at me, so I got to take a dig back.
For those who are listening, we have not addressed this, but Theron had a late night last night, and he overslept. It happens.
Oh, that's because he had nightmares from the movie.
What?
That's exactly right.
He had nightmares. I just fell asleep in parts of the movies. He had nightmares of the movies.
Okay. Oh, no. Some of those scenes, man, when they was doing the fatalities, I was like, ooh, that's too much for me. I got to stay up. I got to turn and watch this movie with the lights on. Right. Can't go to the bathroom. I'm like,
I will take me out. Yeah, I tell you, the one fatality that I was like, oh, what, you know, kind of thing was Kung Lao, the hat spinning and the winged girl coming down.
Yes.
And just like the game, just split her in half. And I was like, they went there, you know, kind of a thing.
And I was thinking to myself too, I was like, you know, he can call that hat back, even though when he threw it at Shang Tsung, he can call his hat back at any moment. It can, like, you know, materialize or whatever. So I was like, okay, why is he just standing there? He's not doing anything. And I was like, okay, I kind of see what's happening right about. That was really good setup. And also at the same time, really good execution of that ability. And I love the fact that every time they did something, they did their catchphrase. You know, it was like, oh, yeah, flawless victory.
Oh,
yeah, finish him, fatality. You ever notice that? Oh, my goodness. It was so fun. So fun seeing that stuff.
Yep. Jax doing his fatality on Hammer Dude, the hammer guy.
Yeah.
Clapped his hands and I'm like, oh, they did that one too. You know,
it was really nice. The fatalities were amazing in this movie. I did like one of my favorite lines from Jax is when he was fighting against Sub-Zero. And then when Sub-Zero was basically going pretty hardcore at him, he was like, I did 6 tours.
And
just kept going. Oh, man, that was one of my favorite lines. It was like, dude, I did 6 tours. Your hits don't do nothing to me. And I was just like, they were just going back and forth, back and forth. That was was a pretty interesting fight scene at itself before he got his arms ripped off. But, I mean, he held his own.
Yeah.
You ever notice how a lot of the people were getting thrown into stuff? Everybody hit a wall in some type of way. Somebody would grab them. Throw them, grab them, throw them into a fence, grab them, throw them into a sword, grab them, throw them into a wall.
For those of you who are listening, you could have a fun drinking game with how many times people get thrown into a wall.
That's exactly how many people has been either spear chucked or thrown into a wall in some type of degree. So I thought that was pretty
funny. You will not make it to the end of the movie like Mike. You will pass out by the time the movie's done.
And I didn't even do tequila shots.
Right.
That's funny. That is funny. Okay, so let's go back to the main guy. So everybody pretty much understood, like, the characters. It wasn't really centered around Liu Kang. It was back to Cole. They talked about how he got his Akana, how he was able to fight against go up against Goro and kind of do that whole hat trick and everything.
Which was a cool fight.
Yeah, that was cool.
Goro fight was a good fight.
I think the best, what we really came to go there for was the fight between Sub-Zero and Scorpion. And how that scene was the climactic scene, I jumped out of my seat when I saw it. When I thought that Sub-Zero was going to take out the main guy, he just stopped him, and then all of a sudden you seen the spear. They use the spear in the perfect sense, or whatever I can't think of what they call
the gardening spade
that he used
as his rope, his weapon, whatever you call that. Yeah,
right.
It's a name for that. I can't think of the name. I'm pretty sure the listeners are like screaming at me right about now saying that.
And all three of us.
Like, yeah, it's chain rope. There you go. It's spear chain or whatever. But I think that's pretty interesting. I never understood what they called it in a game. I'm pretty sure it's a name for it as well. But
it was always called get over here.
Yes, when he said that, oh man, it was so many good
that
moments.
Sounded like it was straight from the game.
It did. Yes. It was muffled. It was definitely the action that he did, and he was able to like control it. It was right. He was retracting mm-hmm. into his, I guess, arm. Mm-hmm. It's pretty nice. So yes, that fight scene, I want to leave it up to you guys, but you can talk a little bit more about it, how you love the fight scene of that, or we can go back and talk about Kano a little bit because his character was pretty interesting.
We'll stay. Go ahead, Mike.
Let's stay on Scorpion and Sub-Zero for a second. Yep. So, 'cause personally, I felt this movie really was about them too. I mean, hence the posters behind Steven and I. It's both Scorpion's and Sub-Zero's faces. And honestly, when Scorpion was killed in the beginning, I was just like, well, that's kind of a letdown because I really want to see these two. And yeah, we got the big fight between the two of them, which was an incredible fight. It was great.
Oh,
it's just I felt there wasn't enough development of the two of their stories. I mean, we got a great introduction of Scorpion with his family. But we didn't get all the background that you talked about, Theron, about the two different factions,
clans
mm-hmm. and such. We didn't get that, and I don't know that background, and I think that would have been cool. I would have enjoyed that, to learn a little bit more about them. But again, this movie is about fighting. It's not. You know, it's not story heavy, so I guess that's why we didn't get it. But that's part of the reason that I rated this at 3, just because I would have liked more development between those two, because that's where I felt this story was all about, was them two. So
well, you got
it'd be
the
a 2-hour movie if it was like that though.
Do what?
It would have stretched. It would have stretched the movie out to be like 2 hours because. That is a very convoluted backdrop to it. Like I said, I try to in the beginning, I try to talk about it in a very shorthand sense that there was a big manipulation game. But it's a very interesting backstory that goes.
Hey, we got a 4-hour Justice League movie, so why not?
There'll be a director's cut.
There you go.
But here's the thing: this movie sets up for the tournament.
Sure.
And at the tournament is where it gets revealed everything that happened in the past. So I think it's something they're going to continue on with. You do the first 7 minutes do give you, oh man, there's something going on between these two.
Right.
And yeah, you don't get it fleshed out. But I wonder if that's why they're going to bring that out later to say they were both deceived and then they tag up. They tag team.
Yep.
That'd be a guess. I don't know. I will say, Mike, what's the George Lucas line that you like to do? It's like poetry. What?
It's
like poetry. It rhymes, but you do the voice really well.
Yeah, it's like poetry. It rhymes.
Yeah. So you see the father, or excuse me, you see the mom and the son. So the wife and the child at the very beginning get frozen. Then
yes.
You see the wife and the daughter are frozen. I'm like, he did not.
Right.
So, you know, it brought up that emotion like, oh, you did it again, you know, kind of a thing. And I thought, okay, it's on now.
That's pretty good storytelling there. That's, you know.
It was.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah. And so then, you know, they were fighting and stuff. And then when they brought out the spade and then the power of the spade to bring back all of a sudden the magic of, you know, now here's the opportunity for Scorpion to come back from hell kind of a thing. And that was great. It was a great scene. I loved how they made it look like the one actor from the beginning, the really good Japanese actor. He was really good. They made it look Scorpion like him. And even with the final move where he took off his mask to breathe the fire in the games, it's
iconic
just a skull.
Move.
You know, that was it in the first game. I was like, that's so awesome. Yep. You know, kind
that's
of
his
a thing.
Fatality, yeah.
It is. And when he did that, but
fatality.
They did the screen where still the upper was the actor's face, but you saw all the skull jawline and stuff come out. I thought that's an incredible mix.
That was very amazing. Oh, there, the fire. I'm just going to talk about a little bit of the effects. the ice effect and the fire effect in this movie. Phenomenal. I was very blown away about that.
Incredible.
I was very blown away. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I was like, oh, wow, that's new. I mean, I've seen Frozen. I know what snow looks like. I want to see something Pixar related to how they're going to do this one.
Sub-Zero is not Elsa, that's for sure.
He's Ice King, though.
He
was freezing stuff. He was calling hailstorms. I love how they did that effect where he manifests the, which you don't really see that too much in video games, but it was one snippet I do want to talk about. Is where when Scorpion threw his chain, and the way that Sub-Zero dodged it, he cloned himself. He backflipped out of it, and he hit the actual clone, the ice clone. They didn't really do that too much, but it was amazing how they actually pulled it off. Because I was like, "Oh, that's awesome!
Cool, that's right out of the game."
That's right out of the game. And I had to show, I had to go back and show it to my wife. And I said, oh, did you see that? He just did his move where he spins out of his body and he leaves a clone right there. And he throws this. Ice clone. I was like, yes, that was amazing. And then when he did the ice wall and when he pulled, like when he stabbed him and he solidified the blood and turned it into a dagger. That was sweet. I wanted to, that's what I came here for. That's what I came here for. I got what I wanted. Mike, you've slept on that part, but me and Steven, we're there. Me and Steven, we're there. You'll catch up. You'll catch up, Mike. Okay. You'll catch up. It's okay. You'll catch up.
So, you know, in the past, a lot of times the movies that are made from the video games do not interpret well to the big screen. How do we feel that this one did? I mean,
oh, great question.
Oh, yeah, that is a really good question.
Because I mean, in the past, when people hear, oh, they're doing a video or they're doing a movie of such and such a video game that's been, you know, a big huge hit in the video game market, only the diehard video game fans are the ones who are usually excited about it because everyone else is like, yeah, every other video game movie sucks. So, you know, so how do we feel that this interpreted from the video game onto the big screen?
That's the reason why I gave it a 4, because I think it does interpretate a lot of the video game lore into the movie and stuff like that. I think that when it comes down to the story between the Quaylin and the Scorpion faction, I think that's actually really good. I think that the Sonya Blade and Jax story arc, they are both partners and they're both trying to go after the opposition. That was really good. What's that? Liu Kang and Kung Lao, their story interpretation was really good. Even going back to some of the video games, that it was just specific with multiple video games actually, because they had a Sub-Zero specific video game. They had a Liu Kang and Kung Lao type video game. A lot of it kind of all central around that, and they talked about each character and they made the characters more relatable versus the game. Now the movie and also in said location, I will prefer the Shang Tsung from the first Mortal Kombat movie. He's one of my favorites. Even he's the one of the characters that they have in the latest video game because he just was so connected with that character and stuff like that. This variation of Shang Tsung, I don't really care for too much.
He's all right. Okay.
Yeah, he's okay. But the first Mortal Kombat Shang Tsung was like, he definitely hit home with that one. Even I will go back and say that variation of Liu Kang was actually really good. But they definitely developed a Sonya Blade character. Jack is more fleshed out. They did introduce some of the iconic characters like Cabal, Kano. They fleshed them out. Why do Kano and Sonya don't like each other? It's because of the betrayal and who he is and why they never will. That's why they have that. They're mortal enemies in that sense, what we were basically establishing. So I thought that was pretty interesting as well, too. Plus the champion that Kung Lao, Kung Lao was a champion before, because beforehand it was 10. I'm sorry, there was supposed to be 10 Mortal Kombats. That's supposed to be one in order for Earthrealm to be taken over from Outworld. And Kung Lao was one of the descendants who won the tournament from the eighth win. I think the 7th or 8th tournament, which kept them from winning the one that they're, which kept them from taking over the one they're in right about now. It's only so many of those characters that they basically flushed out to say that, yeah, they are able to fight in Mortal Kombat, not just anybody. Because sure. You notice that how they said that Sonya Blade, she wasn't qualified. She wasn't able to fight in the Mortal Kombat until she took out Kano and then absorbed his Akana. That's pretty, not his Akana, but a variation of the Akana, her spirit or whatever.
Gotcha.
But yeah, her ability. So I thought that was pretty good. Yes, it does tie up with the game. It does make a lot more sense with the game. This one definitely hit home for me. And that's
okay.
Yeah, it was really good.
Cool.
You know, the first game, there wasn't a whole lot of lore, except when you beat the game, you got a little bit of, you got a little paragraph of, here's their story, you know, kind of a thing.
Well, that was back in the day too. So you
right. And, yeah. But that was groundbreaking even then.
Sure.
So that game was so different. You know, here's an 8-bit game that makes it look like real people on the screen and doing all these kind of fatalities, you know, it pushed the envelope, and even having some kind of story for a video game,
right.
For a fighting game, excuse me. To flesh it out, that's where they introduce more characters like Noob Sabat, Smoke, you know, Reptile, you know, those kinds of things. And then that's where the lore really began to take shape. And it's you know, now we're on 11, and it's really taken, there's a lot of lore to it now. You know, you thought Goro was a big bad guy, then it was Shang Tsung, but then after that, it became somebody else. And then it was somebody else, you know, who was the bad. And so I thought for the basic story, they did a pretty good job knowing that there's all this lore. So they got to cram all this into a film. What they chose to do to break it up, because, you know, Johnny Cage is a big character.
Yeah.
And so they pushed him off to the next movie. I thought that was really interesting. So they were very specific about what they were wanting to do. I thought the addition of having some kind of scar or tattoo or mark, you know, of the dragon to say you've been chosen,
right.
You know, that's different. That is different. And I understood they needed that for storytelling to say,
oh, that doesn't exist in the game.
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, that doesn't. They, it's just like they, beforehand, Raiden was able to, you notice how Raiden was really that active. And I love the establishment of that. Raiden is an elder god, and he cannot, oh, he's a variation of an elder god, I think. But he cannot intervene. So he will witness two people going back and forth and fighting, but he can't, like, you know, sway the battle. He has to let it flush out. Just like how Shang Tsung, notice how Shang Tsung wasn't really like doing anything. He just stood by and let them duke it out. So I thought that was pretty good.
Raiden, he's a playable character in the game, right?
He is.
Yeah,
he is.
I thought he was.
Back forward. Get some flying. Just hit the back forward and pew. He flies.
It's full. It's da, 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 da. There you go.
Right.
Sounds like Fred Flintstone type or dude.
What was that again, Terrence?
His da, 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 da.
I love it.
That's a sound bite. That's a sound bite right there for me. but Raiden, he does fight in Mortal Kombat to an extent, but you don't get that stuff until you get more into like Shao Kahn and a lot of his other henchmen that's basically trying to manipulate and take over before the actual battle before the merger start to take hold, you know, because eventually, they're going to, you know, it was like, okay, we won, you know, 9 out of 10. You guys don't have that many fighters left. Let's just get this over with. And that's when Raiden's like, no, you have to agree. There's rules to this. So therefore, that's how he intervenes in that type of aspect. They show that in Annihilation, which was whatever. That movie, if you want to watch pure entertainment, just watch that movie. Don't watch it for it. Don't go back and try to say, oh, I'm going to watch Annihilation, and then I'm going to watch, and I'm going to have the same type of effect when I'm watching this Mortal Kombat. No. You watch those movies for entertainment. You watch this one for seriousness. There you go.
Well, as serious as you can take the story.
Well, Annihilation is a good time if you're drunk, kind of a film, you know.
I guess we ain't going family oriented on this, so. Mike's talking about tequila. We're talking about shots. All right, cool. This is more about
Right, right.
Unfiltered yeah. podcast right now.
Mas tequila, baby.
I think we've talked more about alcohol this one on this
episode. How many times can you get drunk and by somebody getting thrown into a wall or something? Yeah. You're not going to make it.
You're not going to make it. Nope. So I will say they did do the story pretty well. They really did. For what they have, what they had to introduce, trying to get characters in, get in good fight sequences, get in good fatalities, some of the fatalities. Yeah. They introduced mm-hmm. you to the concept of fatalities, and they gave us some fatalities. Mm-hmm. Kind of a thing. So, which was good. The Cole character is new. I don't have any issues with that. He's not in the games, but I bet he is going to be in the next one, or they'll add him to 11 or something like that.
Oh, I'm sure. Why would you throw him in this movie and then not put him in the game? You know, mm-hmm. I think you
DLC
have
DLC content. It's what he's going to be DLC content.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That would make sense.
Yep. Wouldn't it be funny if they released it this week for $4.99? You can get Cole.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Right. No, he's going to be $7.99 because he's hot. He has all these, and he beat Goro.
Right?
he can beat Jason X in the game.
Right? Right.
Wow.
Yes. So I think story-wise, they did what they could with what they had. And story-wise, I think it was good, although I didn't like it at first, but looking back on it, I think it was good that they did with everybody coming together and not trying to throw the tournament in on top of it, that the tournament's going to be a whole separate film kind of a thing, the actual tournament itself. So,
yeah, I think
an official tournament. Yeah,
I think it was a good build up to the tournament. If you would have brought in the tournament into this film, I think it would have been too much,
too rushed.
I'm, you know what? I'm in for a sequel. I thought it was good enough that I want to see a sequel to it. I enjoyed the fights. I thought they were fun.
Fights were fun.
You know, again, I'm not an expert on the video game, but from what I know of the video game, the fights matched a lot of the things in the video game, and I thought that was fun and neat. Overall, I enjoyed the film. It was good. What I stayed awake for.
Now you did that to yourself.
I know. I had to get in my own dig.
Before we did it.
That's right.
You did it before we did.
Beating you guys with punch.
You got to let us set it up, Mike. You got to set it up so we can stay. You can't throw yourself on the list.
Right.
Take a drink.
Take a drink.
Right. That's funny. So, should someone see this in the theater, or if they have HBO Max, just watch it on HBO Max? Is it a theater-style film? Because, you know, when we talked about Kong versus Godzilla...
Yeah.
Yes.
Or Godzilla versus Kong. I'm confused now on which comes first. Mike, you talked about seeing that on the big screen and how it was much better on the big screen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But again, that's giant monsters. I think giant monsters should be experienced on the big screen first, if it at all possible. Because, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, if you go back and watch some of the older stuff, it's kind of hard to go watch that on a big screen. mm-hmm. Honestly, this I think it can be enjoyable on either the big screen. I mean, I watched it at home on HBO Max also. I'm glad mm-hmm. I didn't go see it in the theater because I hate to pay money and fall asleep. But see, I'm getting my own digs in. Anyway, no, I think with the fight scenes and stuff, I could see how that would be very enjoyable on the big screen. But I think you can enjoy it either way. You know,
I agree.
I guess if you're a huge Mortal Kombat fan, you might want to go see it on the big screen. But I think it's just as enjoyable on your television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you won't really get like too much of the. For example, the reason Kong and Godzilla. Definitely go see that in a theater type setting. For this particular movie, this is one of the HBO Max, but you know, you could see it in the theater as well too if you just want to have that one-on-one feel for it. But I mean, I watched it at home and the sound effects was kind of low, so it wasn't really giving those hits when it comes to the sound. But then again, if you want to see awesome fight scenes, yeah, it definitely seems like a personal feel that, you know, I got a 75 inch in my theater room, so I was just like right there. I was right in the mix. I had the surround sound up and I'm hearing all the ice crystals, you know, hit the ground when somebody's getting thrown into a wall.
Right.
Or a fence. So it's just things like that. And what Stephen, you were mentioning too, they had to slow some of the effects down, like some of the fight scenes down, so it's choreographed. So you're not really getting a super, you know, fast paced, action packed movie like a Ong Bak or like a Protector or something. You're getting what you're getting in this particular regard. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty good. Yeah. So movie aesthetic wise, yeah, it's really good if you want to watch it at home or if you want to watch it in the theater. It goes either way. I really do enjoy it.
Yeah. The by the way, that actor who played Sub-Zero was in The Raid. And if you haven't seen The Raid, that is an incredible fighting film. It is gory, but it's incredible. And I think he plays the brother to the main character, I think. Oh, if you haven't seen it, I think I just did a spoiler.
I'm going to watch that one next. That was my next martial arts movie I was going to take apart.
It's incredible. And he's in that. He's in that film. And he was the guy that the director was saying they had to ask him to slow down because he was just too fast.
Oh, I did hear that comment. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So, yeah. He was incredible. It was great martial arts action all the way around. If you go into the movie for an Academy Award winning drama, you're not going to get it.
If
you're wanting a popcorn munchy action, incredible fight sequences and creative fight sequences and creative fatalities, you're going to get that out of this film.
I agree.
I'm thinking of Johnny Cage. Luke Kane, his bicycle kick, that's an iconic move in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Pay attention to that. Just don't. They tried doing that. I don't think they have the wire effect or the effect where they can really pull that off where it doesn't seem very gimmicky or very, you know, it doesn't seem not fleshed out properly. They tried to do it because the way they had him in the off to the screen and how he was able to like throw his feet in the air, it seemed like a baby throwing a tantrum in midair. It's mainly what it looked like.
Yeah.
He's kicking his feet everywhere. They didn't really do that move, but they did do his fireball, which I thought was pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Like some of the effects in the movie was like really on par.
Really good.
Yeah, really good.
And yeah, the bicycle move, it didn't translate real well to the. That's probably the one thing from the video game that just didn't translate real well. And that's probably just because that is so, you know, video game centric that, you know, it's not a move that's possible in real life.
Right.
Physically. Yeah, you can physically do that.
Right.
They try it, but you can't have that much hang time in order for you to do, you can do like three kicks, but you can't do about 10 kicks in a row like that. Exactly. His flying kick, his straightforward flying kick from the game. That's his iconic move where he does the fireballs, the low one and the high. You don't really see that. So Liu Kang, they didn't really emphasize him as much. They only did it with the main character that was a descendant of Scorpion, which I hope that they bring up in the next iteration of the film. But he was really good as far as like pushing the others to unlock their abilities with their arcana. He really did kind of like sell that aspect. I really think that was pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah. What about his fatality?
Oh, Luke his fatality?
It was.
He did animality. He did animality because he brought the dragon. That was a throwback to the Annihilation.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he turned into the Hydra? He threw. That's his special. I was on edge. I was jumping out of my seat when I saw that. And he put Cabal in the pit and he let the thing on fire. Oh my goodness. It was
big
amazing.
Old dragon.
Yeah, amazing. Kind of
it was great.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
I was hyped.
Loved it, loved it, loved it. And also, man. Yes. All right. Well, any last impressions about the film? Anything we forgot to bring up or that anybody wants to talk about or We covered a lot. Right. We just kind of just fire hydrant. We didn't do it like, okay, point A, point B, point C. We didn't do that. We just went, here, this is awesome.
But I think that's the appropriate way to do this film. I mean, you know, it's kind of the way this film was.
Did you see
this?
Did you see that? Did you catch this? Did you catch that?
Right.
I love this. I didn't like that. I think we all actually, all three of us came to a consensus on like the highlights and the low points of the movie. And I think we've made a fair assessment to what we enjoyed and what we expect to see in the future. I think that's pretty cool.
So I think my rating still stands. I'm still going with the three dragons.
Three out of five.
Yep.
That's your partial take on the movie for the part you up to. You fell asleep. You're going to give it three. And when you finally watch it, you're going to basically come back and do it.
Those parts I slept through, I gave it four.
I understand. You need your Z's, sir. You need your Z's.
You're darn right, I do.
Oh my gosh, that's great. Oh my goodness. Well, hey, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us for just a fun discussion on the new Mortal Kombat movie 2021. As we talked all kind of things Mortal Kombat, but this was good. It's worth watching. If you're a Mortal Kombat fan, yeah, you do need to see this. You probably already have seen it if you're a fan.
Right.
I'm sure. But hey, thanks for joining us around the virtual coffee table. Also, don't forget to take a look at our website, twogeeksmic.com, 2GEEKSMIC.com.
And that's the number 2.
It is the number 2, yes. And so where we are, that's our portal for everything else to get merch. And we've got all kinds of fun little stuff for merch. Mike's done a great job on that. And then also our Ko-fi page, if you want to buy us a coffee and get access to all kinds of extra fun stuff, behind the scenes stuff and all that. And as Mike said, we just released our first pre-release episode. And you can see, if you want a good laugh, that there you go on that one. So...
All right, Mike, you talk first.
Yeah, yeah. Who talks first?
Who talks first? You talk first.
Yeah, that's probably where that came from. Well, Mike, do you want to sign us out for the rest of our show?
Yep. First, I'd like to thank Theron for joining us again. Some good analysis on Mortal Kombat, even though I fell asleep for part of it.
No problem, sir.
And with
there's the other drinking game. Is how many times in this episode did we say Mike fell
asleep? Oh my gosh. All right. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to be drunk. I did not fall asleep that many times in the movie, by the way. There were a couple times that I woke up on, wait a minute, what did I just miss? In fact, I even reran the end because I was like, wait a minute, what happened there? So, all right.
As much as we talk about Mike sleeping through the movie, we may have to order you a sleep study, sir.
That's a possibility. All right. With that said, I'm going to close this out with a big fatality. Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,
may the force be with you.